Good evening again tonight to everybody. Let's turn to Job chapter 23 tonight. Job chapter 23. There was a man that was stranded on a desert isle for some 5 years, and no one to be with him, all by himself. Ate nothing but coconut, pineapple, fish, all the, you know, wild animals that he could catch, all these things. After 5 years, he was finally rescued. A ship went by, seen him there. Captain took his little rowboat to him and some of the crew and picked him up. And the captain said, "Well, I notice that there's 3 huts here. What's all these 3 huts for?" You heard this one, huh? Well, forget it then. I ain't going to tell. But he says, "Well, the first hut's where I live. I've got all my provisions in there, and that's where I stay every night, and that's where I'm at. And the second hut is my church." And then he stopped, and the captain said, "Well, that's all great that you got your own house and your own church you go to, but what's that third hut for?" And he says, "Well, that was the church I used to go to till I got mad." So anyhow, tonight we're going to take a look here in Job chapter 23, just verse 1 down through verse number 12. And we're just going to look tonight a question that so many times I'm sure we ask is, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? And the message tonight's going to just deal with, why do we suffer? You know, we see so many things in the world going on around us, and sometimes we question the Lord, don't we? And we see here Job, he's got questions that, you know, we'll see what he says here about that. But we're going to see tonight from the scriptures, I hope it'll be an encouragement to you to see why we suffer and know that suffering has its place in our lives. You know, when we got saved, it was never guaranteed that it was going to be a bed of roses, was it? There's going to be times of suffering, times of trials that we're going to have to face, that we're going to have to go through. And we'll see some of those reasons here tonight. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and stand while we read the scripture like we like to do. I hope you like to do. And then we'll pray first, and we'll read verse 1 down through verse number 12. Our Father, we are again thankful for the time to be in your house this evening and for the word of God that we can open. And Lord, your word's a pure word. Lord, your word's a word that convicts and guides. Lord, we thank you for your word and help us tonight to be attentive to it. Pray the Holy Spirit will teach us. Pray the Holy Spirit will allow me to remember the things that I've studied out again. And pray, Lord, that you will just bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says this, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You can be seated tonight. As we look at this passage here just for a few moments tonight and see some things about suffering, we see Job here, of course, he's answering some of his friends and the accusations that they bring against him. And I'm sure we've all have had accusations brought against us at many times, one time or another. How do you handle those accusations? Well, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And you just got to trust the Lord. And of course, that comes through learning, and it comes through more. The more we get accused, the easier it is then to turn our back and on it and trust the Lord more and more. But, you know, it's hard when people accuse you of things. And accusations can be damaging to a person's reputation and testimony. And here's these friends accusing Job of many of things. We know Job in chapter 1 was a righteous man. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He loved God. He wanted to do right. And God had blessed him with all those possessions that God had blessed him with. And of course, we know how the story went when Satan came. And of course, the Lord told Satan he could have his way with Job. And Satan allowed everything that Job had to be taken away. And then, of course, Job ended up with all those boils and that itched, and he would scratch them, and he would try to get them to quit itching. He would throw dirt and dust on him and all these things, and kind of remind me of Donna's poison ivy there. That she's scratch wanting to scratch at him and stuff. But, you know, I'm getting that dirty look now. I can that apartment open for but you know, he had all these suffering he was going through, and along with all of his friends accused him of all these things. And that's where Job starts out in chapter 23 in that first verse. He answers, and he says, "My complaint is bitter. Today is my complaint bitter. I have a heavy heart. I have friends accusing me. I have all these things going on in my life as far as these boils and all these things." He says, "My stroke is heavier than my groaning." He says, "I've got a reason why I'm hurting and why I'm ailing." You ever hear the old saying, "Don't quit your whining, or I'll give you something to whine about"? You know, growing up, sometimes kids like to whine and whine over nothing, and you tell them, you know, you want something to whine about, you know. Job here is saying, "I've got something to whine about. My stroke, my problems that I'm going through is greater than my complaining. I'm going through a lot of things, and I've got this, friends, that I've got a reason to complain. I've got a reason to share what's going on in my life." He says, If I knew where the Lord was at, I would come to him. He felt alone during this time. Of course, we know that he can come before the Lord because the Bible tells us we can come boldly to the throne of grace, can't we? Obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. He says, like in verse 4, he says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would talk to the Lord. I would tell him what's going on. I would tell him what my friends are doing. He would bring his petitions here to the Lord and talk to him. You know, sometimes you read that verse and you think he's going to come before the Lord and complain to him. How can you complain to the Lord? Maybe he did. But where does complaining get us when we complain to the one that knows what's going on anyhow? And it's all in his hands. He says, "I don't know." He says, "I don't know the words which he would answer me, but I would understand what he would say unto me." He says, God's going to have an answer for me that's going to be a loving answer, an answer that's going to help me, not an answer like my three friends are giving me that are throwing me under the bus and trying to condemn me and kick me and everything else while I'm down. He says, the Lord's going to show me. And it goes on to say, well, he plead with me and with his great power. Is he going to strike me down with lightning bolt? No, he's going to give me strength to go through this. And we know that the Bible tells us that he'll not put us through more than we can handle. No temptation is going to get us that we can't handle. He tells us he makes a way with every temptation for us to escape. And how is that escape given to us? It's given to us through, first of all, the Word of God, the promises of God's Word, and that we can then come to the Lord in prayer, present our hearts to him. But he still felt all alone here. And that's why he says in verse 8 and 9, he says, I've looked for him and I just don't feel him. You ever feel like that sometimes? Like the Lord's nowhere to be found? Like you're just all alone? It's like you're doing right. You want to live right. You want to be obedient to the Word of God. You want to do what's right. But sometimes you feel like, where's the Lord at? You look all around. You see people living wickedly. Got everything in life they need, and they're happy and joyful and for the most part, out in the open, but who knows how they are when they're by themselves. But they put a good show on that life is just full of fun. They flaunt their things that they have, their money, their toys, all these things, and their homes, and You look and you sometimes you think, and here you are, you're trying to live for the Lord and do right, and you think, but Lord, I just want to, I want to do more for you, but yet it's always a struggle. We feel like Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do are the things I end up doing. You ever get that way sometimes? This flesh just gets in our way many a times. And he says, I just seem like the Lord's nowhere to be found. But then he goes on to say, he knows the way that I take. The Lord knows where we're at. He knows what situation we're in. He knows what we're going through because he's the one that allowed us to go through whatever it is we're going through. And tonight we're going to see some reasons why do we suffer. Why do we suffer in this life? And we're going to take a look at the first one. The reason why we suffer many a times is just flat out because of sin. Sin will bring suffering. Sin will bring heartache. Sin will bring a loss of fellowship with the Father. Back in Galatians, we know the passage in chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What we dish out is what we're going to receive in. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to of the flesh then reap corruption. What joy is there in sin? The Bible tells us there's joy and pleasure in sin, but it's only going to last for how long? Just a season. It's going to last. Is sin fun? Well, who's going to lie and say, no, it's not? Sure, sin's fun. If it wasn't, why do we sin? Because our flesh enjoys it. There is pleasure in sin, but sin has its payday. Payday's coming one day for those that want to just live in the life of sin and not to do right, and they want to just fulfill the desires of their flesh. And of course, this message is for Christians tonight. And the Christian that wants to just fulfill his desires and fulfill the flesh and do what he wants to do and neglect the Lord, neglect what God wants him to do, he's going to suffer. He's going to suffer that loss of fellowship. He's going to suffer that loss of testimony. So many things he's going to lose because of that sin in his life. Now, you think back in the book of Luke, chapter 15. If you don't need to turn there, you know the story of the prodigal son. And, so many times I've heard preachers preach this message that this is that lost soul coming back to the Father for salvation. And of course, you can bring it across that way. And I always like to bring it across that's that son that's already part of the Father's house. Because he's going to go to the Father's house. He's already received his inheritance from the Father. We as a child of God have already received our inheritance. We're a child of God now. The pleasures of heaven are ours. But that prodigal son decided he wanted to take all these things that had been given him and go out and squander it away. And lived his life in the pig pen of sin, as it's called. And when he came to his senses, he started to think, boy, you know what? My servants are living better than I am. I'm going to go back home to the Father, tell him that I don't deserve to be his son, and ask his forgiveness. That's a picture of repentance there, a change of mind. And he did so. But you stop and you think, why was he in that pig pen of sin? Because he chose to fulfill the desires of his flesh and wasted his money on righteous living and on the prostitutes and all these things. And what a hole he made himself in, that he got himself into. Sin's going to result in the chastising hand of God for the child of God. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We looked at this passage. I don't remember when it was. I don't know if it was in Sunday school on Sunday or a few weeks ago. But chapter number 11. Look at verse number 26 down through verse 28. And it's very plain and very simple when it comes to sin in our lives. The Bible says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now, if you have a choice to make here, one or the other, which one we want to choose? Well, naturally, we want blessing, don't we? He says a blessing. How do we get that blessing? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you, this day. Solomon wrapped it up at the end of Ecclesiastes. That's the duty of man, to believe God, to love the Lord our God and keep his commandments, to obey his word. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, and go after other gods which you have not known. A blessing and a curse. Obedience will always bring blessings, and disobedience will always bring chastisement. When we want to live and persist in a life of sin, God's going to have to get a hold of us. So many a times you and I, we're going to suffer if we allow sin into our lives. Another reason we suffer is the Lord's trying to just purge us. And we're going to wrap all four of these things up here in a little bit. But he tries to purge us. You know, when we get saved, we're not perfect, are we? You know, when I got saved, I still had habits and things in my life. You know, you hear so many times, you hear these people will get up and give a testimony, and you know, it makes you feel like you want to get saved all over again because of the way they got, you know, what happened to them. And you think, well, boy, that didn't happen to me. You know, they'll stand up and they'll say, well, praise God, I drank and I smoked and I went with the girls that did all those things. When I got saved, by gosh, God took away that bottle and all these things, and I don't smoke and I don't chew no more, and I don't go with the girls that do, and I've just, my life's cleaned up, and I go to church and I do this and this and this. And you look at it and you think, wow, because I'm like the other 99 out of that 100 that says, well, man, when I got saved, I still had these habits that were still nagging at me and that I would end up doing many a times and have to say, Lord, forgive me for that. You know, the Lord has to purge us, doesn't he? Just like those fruit trees in John chapter 15, sometimes we need to be pruned, those things that are in our lives that shouldn't be there. The Lord has to start nipping them out here and there. And, you know, do a little nip here and a little tuck there. And you know, when you look at your life as a child of God, if you're yielding to the Lord and to what his work in your life is, you ought to look at your life today and say, you know what, I'm not perfect, but you know what, I'm a lot different than what I was. There's things in my life that I used to do that I'm not doing now. And yeah, there's still things I struggle with, we would say. But you know what? The Lord's not done with us yet, is he? He's not done with us. He's still working on us. He's purging us. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. And we are the work of thy hand. We're just a lump of clay in the Lord's hand. And he's molding us and making us each and every day what he wants us to be, a vessel fit for the Father's use. And he's going to mold us the way he wants us to be. And sure, there's going to be times like that song says, you know, I break it out and sing it for you, but I don't know all the words. But you know how he takes that lump of clay, and even though it gets marred and stuff, he doesn't throw it away, does he? He keeps working on it. And he's working on us to purge us from those things in our lives that are displeasing, but he with a loving hand purges us. And sometimes while he's purging us of things, it feels like we're suffering, doesn't it? You know, when he starts to convict your heart about something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, or I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, and it brings conviction, it brings a sorrow in our heart at times, and we think, boy, you know, why'd I do that? And why, you know, and that's because he's purging us. And sometimes it feels like suffering that we're going through. But Philippians 2:13 tells us it's God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. He wants to make us fit for the master's use. So we suffer many times because of sin. We might have feeling like we're suffering because he's purging us. But then there's times that we suffer, trials and temptations in our lives that come our way. He's testing us. He's going to test us to see what we're made of. How strong are we? And a lot of times that testing will show you and I just where we're at too in our spiritual walk. What are we going to do when the Lord tests us, when that testing comes? James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know what? We're going to be tempted. Temptation will come. The Lord's going to, as many times, see what we're going to do in situations. Now, he's not going to tempt us with sin, because he's not that way, but he will put things before us to see exactly what's going to happen and what we're going to do. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. We mentioned those before. You got Daniel in the lion's den. Boy, what a temptation. That was a trial to go through, wasn't it? I couldn't imagine it, you know, and to have something like that happen. You know, Daniel stayed faithful, though, didn't he? You know, you've got Abraham and Isaac. Could you imagine if the Lord told you to take your only son up and sacrifice him just to see what you're going to do? And Abraham, he went right along with what the Lord wanted him to do. He was obedient to the Lord. You think about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace when Nebuchadnezzar told them, fall down and worship me, and if you don't, you're going into that furnace. And they didn't even, the Bible says they didn't even have to stop and think about their answer, did they? They said, you know what, we're not careful to answer you, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow down and worship. And look what happened to them. They got through into that fiery furnace. But no harm came to them. The Lord was with them. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he says, we threw three men in there, but I see four. How is there four people in there when we only threw three? He says, but you know what? That fourth one looks like the Son of God. Because Christ is always with us. He was with them. And, of course, they brought him out of the furnace there and, you know, the story that went on there. But there's going to be times you and I are going to be tested. And we're going to be tried in this life. God's going to see, are we going to stay faithful or are we going to quit? I believe today, you know, many a times you look around in the churches and how many a times, the message I preached a few weeks about the empty pew, a lot of God's children didn't pass the test when they were tested. They failed. They gave up. They quit because they didn't like the preacher. They quit because somebody said something to them they didn't like. Somebody took their seat at church, you know, and, you know, It's like the visitor came into the church at one day and asked the preacher, and they said, is this seat saved? And the preacher said, I don't know, but I'm still praying for it. But, you know, but you think that there's the littlest reasons why people quit church. The littlest reasons. We come to church on Sundays, on like this past Sunday, and you look over here at the cube down here and the hundreds and hundreds of cars out there because they got their baseball games and stuff going on. Same way with football games when they got the little midget football and all that going. Any excuse to stay out of the house of God, to miss the house of God. They fail the test. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. They get tested. They can't handle it. They think, what am I going to do? This is happening to me. I can't understand this. I don't know what's going on. Well, what's the use then? And Satan's good at jumping on the shoulders of people and causing people to start having fears and worries and getting upset over nothing. The old mountain out of the molehill type situation. You know, sometimes you can think somebody said something to you that, and you think, boy, that was kind of mean of them that they said that. But, you know, in all reality, they didn't mean nothing by it. Sometimes we take things the wrong way, don't we? You know, and we got to just be careful. Sometimes the Lord's just going to test us to see where we stand and how strong is our faith in the Lord. Are we going to quit? Are we going to keep going? I always liked the story of Job, and I like Job. Boy, it would be great to be like Job and have that faith that Job have. But you always got to watch out what you pray for and think. Because, you know, the Lord put some testing on us, and to see, you know, we, of course, stuck it out, and we were faithful to the Lord, and Don and I through many of things, and the Lord's faithful to us. But he's there many a times that we're going to suffer just because we're being tested. And another thing why we suffer is just to glorify God. Look back in John chapter 9. John chapter number 9. I'm sure you all heard these things many times before, but like I said, you'll get to know that I'm one of those kind of guys, I just like to preach things to help us remember things. Just to remember things. We get so much new stuff in our heads that we forget the old stuff. You know, and we need to watch out and be careful that we don't forget those old things. John chapter number 9, and look what it says back here in verse number 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Right away, they thought this suffering was because of sin. Now, put a little side note there. Just because someone has physical ailments or they're going through health problems doesn't mean they're being chastised by God. This body we live in just falls apart. It just falls apart. You know, just because you fall apart don't mean you're being chastised by God. You know. But Jesus answered and he said this, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This man was born blind to bring glory to God. It goes on there when Jesus healed this man of his blindness, and many believed because of that miracle that took place. And this man born in that blindness was done to bring glory to God at the appointed time in his life when that took place. A lot of times, suffering is going to come just to glorify God, those physical ailments that we may have. And you know, sometimes you look back and you think, you remember back when you was young and all these things, you're invincible. Remember when you used to think you was invincible? I remember when I thought I was invincible, you know? Yeah. Now I can't even walk outside if it's 90 degrees without falling down practically and gasping for air, you know? But, you know, be out there in that heat and playing ball and stuff and running and just doing it. But, you know, as you get older, you find out you're not invincible. You find out that you're replaceable, you know? You go to work and you know, as I said, you think you're invincible at work and nobody can do your job, but I guarantee you the day after you retire, the day after I retired, someone was stepping in doing my job. Now, they may not be doing it as good, but, you know, they're there. But, you know, there's times when things are going to be done to us that it's just going to be to glorify God. So when a lot of times the people are having ailments, don't look at them and say, oh, they're suffering because of sin. Oh, they're going through that problem because they're suffering through sin. How do you know? How do you know if they're suffering because of sin or if it's just God testing them or if it's God at glory to be glory? You don't know. You can't judge. I can't judge. Only God knows. And you know who else knows? They know. They know. They know when the Lord smites their heart as a child of God if they're living a life of sin, and that's why they're going through the problems they're going through. They know as a child of God, if it's God trying to purge something out of their life that shouldn't be there, and they know that, hey, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, and God has to work on their heart. They're going to know if they've lived in their life and they've done what's right and they're trying to live for the Lord. They're going to know, well, the Lord's probably testing me to see what I'm going to do. And what are we going to do then? Just be faithful. Just as Job said, I didn't go back on his word. I stayed true and I stayed faithful to what he wanted me to do. I didn't feel his presence. I felt empty, but I knew what was right to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I went through a spurt in my life when I doubted real bad. I mentioned that a long time ago, and I ran a bus route. Seven. You know, there was times I'd wake up, and the devil would be on my shoulder, but you know what? When I had to go out on a Saturday morning and knock doors and try to get kids, even with that there, I still knew what was right to do. I knew those doubts weren't, you know, from above. And you just got to do what you know is right to do and follow what the Lord says to do. And sometimes those sufferings are going to come to glorify God and to be able to bring that honor and glory to him. Remember about Paul had that thorn in the flesh, didn't he, that he had to live with. But the Lord tells him there that his grace is sufficient for him in time of weakness. We're going to suffer sometimes to glorify God. Maybe it's going to be physically. Maybe sometimes we're going to suffer to glorify God by others mocking us, rejecting us. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Back here gives, if you would, just some instructions for us as a child of God to help us to be able to do what's right and to do what the Lord wants us to do. It says this in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Right. Don't think that you're something special because you're going through something. Yeah. Happens to everybody. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now look what it says in verse 14. Sometimes we're going to suffer because of being ridiculed and stuff, and that suffering in the heart that it's going to cause you, and that feeling of rejection and stuff. And that's a form of suffering. But our suffering here in the States ain't nowhere near what some have to go through in other countries. But it says, if you be reproached or criticized for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. They may call you a Jesus freak, make fun of us, everything else. On his part, they're speaking evil of the Lord, but on our part, you know what? We look pretty good because they must see something different in us. But look what it says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, for let him glorify God on this behalf. Sometimes suffering, when others ridicule us, make fun of us, it's done to bring glory to God. We're able to bring glory to him because we're living a life that they see that they don't like, and we become that salt of the earth, if you would, that irritates them, that they find us an irritant to be around, and they want nothing to do with us. So we suffer many a times because of sin, to purge us, to test us, to glorify God. And of course, and the results of suffering, well, the results of suffering as a child of God, it should turn us from sin. That chastisement, if we're sinning, it should cause us to turn from that sin. That suffering results also then will help us to be faithful when he tries and tests us to see what we're going to do. Are we going to quit or keep going? We'll be faithful to the Lord. It's going to temper us to help us be stronger. We're going to be like heating that piece of iron up red hot and sticking it in some cold water, and it's going to help to temper it, make it stronger, and change all the molecular structures in it. Molecular, is that a word? The structures in it, and to make it stronger. He's going to make us stronger. As these temptations come, as these trials come, as the suffering comes, we're going to start to realize more and more, well, you know what? He brought me through it the last time. He's going to bring me through it this time. It's going to temper us. And then it's also going to get us ready to be transported. We'll be faithful living for the Lord and living our lives waiting for that day when the Lord sounds that trumpet and you and I are going to rise up, meet him in the clouds to live with the Lord forevermore. Could be tonight. Wouldn't it be great if it'd be tonight and stuff? But, you know, he's going to come. It's our responsibility just to be ready. So as you look at Job back here, Job stayed faithful. And we know the end of the story for Job, don't we? He stayed faithful. His accusers got put in their place by the Lord. And he blessed him with double of everything he had. And his poor wife probably thought, oh no, 10 more kids. Having 20 kids there. But you know, you think the Lord blessed him for being faithful. And he'll bless you and I as we stay faithful to him. So we get from this message tonight is just stay faithful. Suffering's no fun, but be thankful that he loves us enough to put us through things. If we're sinning, he's going to show us. He's going to test us at times to help us grow as a child of God. And he's going to then, maybe as we get older and sin, not sin, but health problems come, hey, let it bring honor and glory to God. That we'll just stay faithful to him in all things and trust him, not complain about it, but to be faithful to him. Amen.